This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
We thank you, Father. Thank you for giving Jesus to us as gift. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for obeying the Father. Thank you for your great love. When you have loved us, thank you for loving us. Loving us the unlovable. Thank you for laying down your life. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, more than buying us back, you also have promises for us. Thank you for the promise of life. Promise of life. Life upon life. Life upon life. Thank you. Thank you. We praise you. With our heart, we say thank you. With all of our soul, we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Even though you paid that huge price, yet you still take up another ministry to minister again, to minister, to keep ministering, to keep ministering. You have sown your life as a seed. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself. Thank you for pouring out your soul for our salvation. We thank you. We are forever grateful. We are forever, ever grateful, ever grateful. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise because you are here this morning. Your heart is here. Your presence is here. Your spirit is here. Your ministry is here. Your glory is here in this place. Thank you for the work you are doing in this assembly. Work of recovery. Work of redemption. Work of salvation. Work of glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for every soul. Thank you for your servant and your handmaiden, whom your hand are upon to lead this flock, to feed this flock. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I recognize their ministry. Recognize their labor. I recognize their sacrifice. I recognize they are laying down their lives under you, Jesus, for the flock. Recognize your grace upon Pastor Thompson, your grace upon Pastor Modupe Ola, and your grace upon the pastors who are laboring with them. I recognize the authority that is in this house. Lord, I come under the authority to minister, that the spirit, the unction of Jesus that's in this house will walk with me today to feed this flock. Jesus, Lord, you didn't call me to injure the flock. You called me to bless. I pray, Lord Jesus, that blessing will rest upon every soul today. Help me to establish souls. What you put in my establishment. Help me to establish men. To establish souls. Put your word in my mouth. Anoint my tongue. Anoint my heart. Anoint my mind. Let me be able to pick your frequency. Anoint my eyes to see. And anoint our eyes to see. Anoint ears to hear. Lord, I'm praying also in the ministration today that anyone with any kind of ailment, infirmities, affliction, they are walking out of this auditorium free. Freedom, 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 freedom. It's part of why you died. Freedom. It's part of what you bore. Freedom. You were beaten for our freedom from sicknesses. I'm praying no Satan, no evil spirit, no unclean spirit will put sickness on anybody. Let bodies be free. 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 Healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. We give you all the praise. I give you glory. I say to Abby to detach from souls. Uncleanness, detach from souls. We return all praise to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ascension
unto God and the Father. So I just want us to see that Jesus Christ gave that word. Let's see John 20:17. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Then, and to my God and your God. So you can see from this verse that there are two levels of ascension. Yeah, it's not the same. We've been taught that, but I will re-emphasize again. It's not the same thing. When they say, I ascend to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God, it's not the same thing. This statement, anybody can say it's the same, but Jesus Christ didn't send this message to everybody. He sent the message to his brethren. So it is his brethren that we understand that there are two levels of ascension. The message is to his brethren. Go and tell my brethren, or go to my brethren and say unto them. Not go to the world. This is not a message to the world. There is a preaching to the world, but this one is not to the world. This one is to brethren. That's why he's telling them, I ascend unto my Father, then and your Father, then unto my God and your God. That is to say, my Father will be your Father, and my God will be your God. You see, these two things you are saying there, they are promises. The Father is a promise. God is a promise. These are promises. So let's see what the promise is. I told you that the Father is a promise and God is a promise. The two are promises. So when you see the apostles writing to the churches, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's see 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. That was a greeting from Paul. Let's see greeting from Peter. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You can see that the greetings are in a particular manner. Can you see the greeting? The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are not the same thing. Even though it's the same person. He's the same person with twofold blessings. That's why I said, is the Father is a promise and the God is a promise. So you have to receive the two blessings of the fatherhood of God and of the Godhood of God. God must be your Father and God must be your God. Can we say, my Father and your Father? My God and your God. So as God became Jesus' Father, or as God fathered Jesus, he must also father us, his brethren. Then as God godded Jesus, yes, so we also must also be godded by God. He must be our Father. He must be our God. In principle, you can say, my Father and my God. That is just in principle. In reality, it's not yet like that. Because even people that say, my God and my Father, they are not yet brethren. The promises are for brethren. It's brethren. Go and tell my brethren. This is not a message to the world, I told you. This is not how you preach to the world. This is the message to his brethren. Go and tell my brethren. When you see that, when he said they should go and preach the gospel to the world, he didn't say, preach to them, my God, your God, my Father, your Father. No. They should repent and be baptized. But for brethren. So when you see, this is what Abraham was looking for. That God will father Abraham and God will God Abraham. Let's see Galatians chapter 3. I should stay on fatherhood of God. And the Godhood. We need to know those two things so that the race can be clear before. But let's see Galatians chapter 3 from verse 16. Now to Abraham, and his seed were the promises made. I told you the promises is fatherhood of God and the Godhood of God. So to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He seeth not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So if we want to put it from this explanation, we can say unto Abraham and to Christ. Because the seed of Abraham is Christ. And to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the seed of Abraham is Christ. So the promises are for Abraham and his seed, which is Christ. So it means Christ must ascend unto the Father. And Christ must ascend unto God. Somebody will now say, so it's for Abraham and his seed. So it doesn't concern me again. It concerns you. You should be part of this seed. Verse 26 of the same place. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. What happened? You are put on Christ. Yes. Go. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Yes. Next verse. And if ye be Christ, then what? You know, he didn't say Abraham's seeds. Because the seed must be one. The seed must be one. Even though we can be 5 million, we can be 20 billion, it must still be one seed. And to be part of Abraham's seed, when you become born again, you are not yet Abraham's seed. 26, what did he say? For ye, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Yes, we know that one. All of you. But 27, he divided it. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. What happened? He didn't say all of you have been baptized. All of you are children of God. But as many of you. So he didn't say all of you have been baptized. As many of you. It means you need to be baptized into Christ. And when you are baptized into Christ, what happened? You put on Christ. So when you put on Christ, you are part of Abraham's seed. Because Christ is the seed of Abraham. Who is Abraham's seed? Christ. When we say Christ, what does it take to be a Christ? You can be a Christ. You should be a Christ. When we say some of these languages, Jesus called one of his disciples a devil. In John chapter 6, Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is what?
A devil.
He didn't say one of you is the. There is the devil. There is a devil. Anybody can be a devil. Anybody can be a devil. When I say be a devil, it takes building to be a devil. So when you say one of you is a devil, he wasn't born a devil. He was made a devil. Judas was made a devil. The devil can make you a devil. When you have that devilish nature inside of you. So you can also be a Christ. That's what I'm trying to say. There is the Christ. There is the Christ. There is a Christ. So the Christ can make you a Christ. Is it not Galatians we are reading when we say the Abraham seed? So Paul was trying to tell them, you guys, I want to make you Abraham seed. We read chapter 3, not so sad. As many that have been baptized into Christ, I put on Christ. Where there is neither Greek nor Scythian, I know it's all of you are Christ. That was trying to say. All of you are Christ. Because it's a continuous thought of building. Chapter 4, verse 19. What did he say? My little children, of whom I travel in birth against you. What? Christ. Oh my God. So Paul knew how to form Christ in men. That means Paul must have been a Christ. You can't give what you don't have. So Paul could form Christ in men. What was he doing? To make them heirs of the promises. So you should be a Christ. The least in our assembly should be a Christ. Christ is the least. There's still more to Christ.
So when they say you should be a Christ, that's the least. That's the least. When I say least, I'm not saying Jesus Christ is least. Jesus too was not born Christ. Jesus was made Christ. Christ is not Jesus' surname. When I say Jesus Christ, that's not his surname. He was made so. He was Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, son of Joseph. He was made Christ. So Jesus is not angry. He's not envying. He's not feeling insulted that we are not saying we are Christ. Body of Christ. He said we are many membered body. So that body of Christ is one seed. It's the seed of Abraham. To be baptized into Christ, we must receive the doctrine of Christ. What baptizes is doctrine. There's nothing that baptizes is doctrine. So when we receive doctrine of Christ and we obey it from the heart, then we are also made Christ. When we receive the doctrine of Christ, Romans chapter 6 verse 17 says, but God be thanked that you were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. You see, that obedience from the heart is the baptism into the doctrine of Christ. That's how you put on Christ. When you obey from the heart, hearing is invitation to baptism. When you are hearing, is to invite you into baptism. Then when you start doing, obedience from the heart. So when they say, you see that was a form of doctrine. I love that word. Not just you have received, you have obeyed from the heart, the doctrine. He said that form of doctrine. So this is how they form Christ in you. My little children, you are trying until Christ be formed. So it takes form of doctrine to form Christ in you. So formation of Christ is by receiving that form of doctrine. It's not every doctrine that can form Christ. There are church doctrines, traditions, but there's what you call particular form of doctrine. This is where you are made his brethren. There's no brothers, not Jesus' brethren. We can be brethren of ourselves. Churches are brethren of brethren. You can be brethren of your brother, but not brethren of the Lord. The Lord knows his brethren. And what he sees is that he must see Christ in you. He must see Christ formed in you. Hebrews chapter 2, from verse 10. He said, for he became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified, they are all of one, one seed. All of them are of one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Why should they be ashamed of me, his brethren? Normally, you should love me, my brethren. Why isn't it not ashamed? Because here, the brethren, which are Christ, are still low to himself. That when they say, go and tell my brethren, the brethren are Christ, but he is more. He's like a PhD coming to BSc. He's like descending. So it's not a shame. When he says it's not a shame to call them brethren, that you have something that I have, but I am more than you. You have Christ in you. I have also Christ. You are Christ, I'm Christ, but I am more. So I'm not ashamed of you. I can help you up. From here now, I can start working on you. Jesus can be ashamed of some. Why will he be ashamed of some? Because they don't have formation of Christ in them. They don't have formation. If you are ashamed of me, I too will be ashamed of you. You know Jesus Christ said that? If you are ashamed of me, I also will be ashamed of you. Why will people be ashamed of him? Because they can't receive the form of doctrine that is given. They can't obey it. That's why Paul, when he was emphasizing the matter of Christ, the matter of formation of Christ, in Romans 1:16, he said, I am not ashamed. Why should he say, I'm not ashamed? He like just say, I preach the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because if you are ashamed of that gospel, then Jesus Christ will be ashamed of you. Because that gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Then you can now see that when we say you are a Christ, please, like I said, it's not something you should see as a taboo. Like I said, you should be a Christ. A Christ is a spiritual man.
He cries. He's a man of life and peace, because Romans chapter 8 says that to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So a spiritual man is a man of life and peace. So the promises of fatherhood and the promise of God is to Christ. Unless you are Christ. And I say Christ is a spiritual man. So to make a man become spiritual, he has to go through the tutelage of the doctrine of Christ. Nothing makes anybody spiritual if he can't receive tutelage of the doctrine of Christ. You will be inside that doctrine, you will be led to obediences. You will be led. So every hearing of Christ is to initiate you. When we say baptize is initiation, is immersion. They will immerse you to obediences. So when we teach now about faith, about hope, about charity, it's not just a slogan. It's the building of a formation of Christ in the soul. They are their obediences. There are obediences of faith. There are obediences of hope. There are obediences of charity. They have their obediences. And because that Christ you are learning and you are becoming is preparation to the world of the Father and to the world of God. So that's why I say you have obeyed from the heart, because you can be hearing Christ and it's not formed in you if you are not obeying. There are obediences that are involved. It's in obedience that you are being formed. Every obedience is formation. Every obedience to faith, to hope, to charity is formation. So you'll be formed as an entity that has commodities of Christ in hope, in faith, in hope, in charity. A spiritual man is a godly man. So a godly man is actually the Lord's brethren. You can't be brethren of the Lord if you are not a godly man. Who is a godly man? A godly man is not God-like man. Godliness is not God-likeness. No, that's not the word. A godly man is not God-like. He's not yet like God. A godly man is God-compatible. He's compatible to God. What is it? Compatibility? Compatibility is not the same thing as likeness. Is that this is somebody that can be his friend. He can be, when he's talking, he can understand. He can agree what he's trying to say. Because the Bible says a carnal man is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you can see, this carnal man has to change frame. Because it's not subject to the law of God. And neither it can never be. It can never. God does not try to give his law to a carnal man. He knows he can't do it. So to make you God compatible, you need the gospel of Christ. Preaching of Christ. Like I said, spiritual man is what, sir? Is a godly man. You have to understand that one. This is how we know you are godly. A godly man is one who is dead to this world. Because you can't be God compatible if you are alive to this world. So, peace there is the godliness. Because when you say you are at peace with God, you can't be at peace with God and not be enemy of the world. The moment you are friend of the world, then you are enemy of God. Then if you are friend of God, you'll be enemy of the world. You can't take side. You can't stay in between. There's no in between this thing. You can't say, okay, let me befriend the world and befriend the Lord. No, you are an adulterer. They call it sexual immorality. They call it unfaithfulness. It's like somebody dating two men. That's what it means. If you want to be friend of the world and friend of the Lord. That's what James was addressing. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses. These people are not people that are marrying another person's wife. Is their soul mingling? Is their soul mingling? Because he said, not the friendliness of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world. What happened to him? Is the enemy of God. You can't be in between. You have to choose you this day whom you will befriend. And what makes you choose to befriend God is doctrine. It's not what you can do by yourself. The word is powerful. You know, the commission they gave to Paul, sir, in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, is that he should turn men
from the power of Satan unto God. From darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Power of Satan is this word. Power of Satan. That song we are singing, you don't understand what you are saying. Ajay is work of the flesh. Witchcraft is work of the flesh. It's in Bible. The works of the flesh are manifest. Witchcraft is one of them. That person that is a witch is just doing work of the flesh. That's why you should not be afraid and cannot sleep because of a witch. If you walk in the spirit, you are superior. You don't need to fast because of a wish. If you fast because of that, means that you also walk in the flesh. You don't need it. Somebody is saying it, but one eye open. Sure, sir. When I said this, someone said, my the person that is talking does not know Aye himself. Which Aye do you know? You are using Aye with fasting and prayer. When you go to the mountain to pray, what are you praying for? Is Aye? You are praying for this word. Is this what you are praying for? 21 days fasting without food is to get this word. Okay, tell me. Do you 21 days fasting to pray for charity, to pray for patience, to pray for... Who does... Why am I shouting down on my wife? Why am I shouting down? I need to fast for 7 days. And you are praying, Lord, change me in this area. Change me in this area. No, this is not right. Chatting down my wife. No, people don't fast for such things. They just as a normal thing. A pastor is a normal thing now. But when you do a salary for 2 months, it's not normal. You can't sleep. This is how we know spiritual man. Yes, no, any salary for 6 months should maybe make you not sleep. If you don't like to sleep. Because you give a beloved sleep. And they say, Pastor, you sleep away your life. You know they sleep in your life. Your life is under control. If you are doing what you ought to do, your life is under terrible control. Somebody is watching over that life. They didn't create it to go and be working and be laboring all day. It's fall of man that brought man there. In the garden, which work was Adam doing? Go in the morning, come back in the evening. Rise in the morning, and in the morning, come back in the evening. It was just in the garden. It was God that was providing for everything. It's not just to till the land, tend the garden. But God was the one responsible for his feeding. So Jesus was told to bring that in Matthew chapter 6. But he knew that the people he was talking to will not be able to receive it. He said, why do you take thought of tomorrow? That's last Adam talking. Because Adam in the garden was not taking thought of tomorrow. What he shall eat, what he shall put on. This word is bad. It's not one that just wants to kill you. The system is hostile. This is here we know spiritual man. I'm not saying, okay, if you don't have salary, you should not think. Pray. Pray if you need to pray. If anybody afflicted, let him pray. But the real affliction is the infirmity of the soul. I said this somewhere. I said, if you don't, early in the year, when people say people should pray for what they trust God for this year, I'm telling you, come and see incense of prayer that is going up. Harvest of prayer. Heaven will just be saying, where will mankind be free? But thank God for love's sake. We pray for growth. We pray for ascension. We pray for change of nature. That's the kind of prayer we want to see. You know, with the women that pray, Lord, this year, husband must hear me. Husband must listen to me this year. Sweet heart, I'm praying this year you will listen to me. This year. So you can see that prayer. It says prayer of the ungodly. Prayer of the godly woman is that this year, sweetheart, I will submit to you tomorrow. Anyway, I feel last year, this year I will do better. It's my prayer this year. Sweetheart, I have a target of prayer. That this year, I will not have issue with you. I will not trouble you. I will submit to you in all things. Sweetheart, whether it's palatable or not, I receive grace. That's a godly man praying. I've said, let the godly pray where it can be heard. Prayer of the godly. But I'm not saying, this man is not balanced. Are you saying we should not pray for healing? Pray for healing. I don't say you should pray for healing. I'm talking about real issue that the godly focus on. Do you know that the Pauline prayer to the churches, he didn't pray Satan will not kill them. Go on, read the prayer in Ephesians, prayer in Philippians, prayer in Colossians. If I pray, I've been praying endlessly for you people. that you will progress and make breakthrough. I'm not against those things. Pauline prayer is what? The eyes of understanding being enlightened. He said, I never cease to pray for you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope. Then another place is pray, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his way, in all special wisdom and understand. This kind of, the kind of prayer I was praying for all of them. Another one, that you may stand perfect in the will of God. Those are the godly prayers that you pray. It doesn't mean God won't address your issues. Jesus Christ, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added. There is a realm called additions. Things are added to you. It's because we don't have faith enough. There's a realm where things are added to you. Believe me honestly. Things are out there. Your father knows what you need. Jesus Christ said it. He said, your father knows what you need. Your father knows what you need. You enter a realm, you are not asking, he's just giving you the things. There are things you don't even think you know that they give you. Then, oh, I need it. It's a realm of life. But if God deals with us according to our levels in the spirit, I'm not saying we should shun some things. If you are oppressed, pray. But don't waste so much time there. What even brought there is witches. Don't even pray about witches again, I beg you. Witches should be afraid of you. Witches should be praying because of you. Witches should pray because of you. Honestly, they should not be able to sleep because of you. And don't fast because of them. Eat pounded yam. When they do, carry your pounded yam and be shopping it. We are blessed. Because this is where Christians derail a lot. One person will give them prophet. They use those things. Nothing they do you. Say nothing they do me. The word is the power of Satan. The word. This word is power of Satan. And what is the essence of power? Satan's power is to make men constantly and consistently remain ungodly. That's Satan's power. To make sure man is constantly and consistently, not just constantly, look, consistently ungodly. The essence of this word is to make men ungodly. What is ungodliness? You are not compatible with God. You are not God compatible. That is ungodliness. Not God compatible. You can't obey the law of God. You can't receive the law of God. You can't keep the law of God. You are hostile to the law of God. Carnal mind is enmity against God. So Satan wants to make sure man is constantly enemy of God. That is the power of Satan. So Christ can deliver. The essence of Christ is to deliver a man from that power of Satan. Say, turn it then from the power of Satan. When you say unto God, there is unto power of God. And we know Christ is the power of God. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. So Christ is the power of God that can deliver a man from the power of Satan. So when you use the power of God, you become godly man. That's a spiritual man. So that spiritual man is the one that is heirs of the promises of God. So the promises, like I said, is fatherhood and godhood. Please, I want you to make sure you hold Christ's doctrine. Go back to the messages. There are messages that are Christ's teachings. Go back to them. Listen again. See the commandment there. Christ is the one that will ascend into Father. Ascension to the Father is a critical job. God said, I ascend to my Father and your Father. What Jesus Christ is trying to say is that the way I ascend is the way you two will ascend. The way I ascend to my Father is the way you two will ascend to my Father, that I can be your Father. Then the way I ascend to my God is the way you will ascend to my God, that I will be your God. So God won't be your God if you can't ascend. It's by ascending. Now, ascension is in building. Ascension is not by location. It's building. I want you to know that because it's very crucial. Ascension in the New Testament. Sir, Jesus Christ said, no man has ascended to heaven at any time. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3. And no man had ascended to heaven. See the word? No man has ascended up to heaven. No man. What are we talking about here? Did Elijah go to heaven? Chariot of fire carry Elijah up to heaven. Didn't Enoch go to heaven? Enoch did not see death. But Jesus Christ said, no man. Our Lord cannot lie. So it means Elijah relocation is not ascension. Relocation is not the same thing as ascension. What happened to Elijah? He relocated. What happened to Enoch? He relocated. Even Moses was moved there. But Jesus Christ didn't relocate. He said, no man has ascended to heaven. But he that came down from heaven, and what again? Even the Son of Man, where? Which is in heaven. That is to say, as I'm talking now, I'm in heaven. So that's not relocation. It means as he's eating rice, he's in heaven. So when you go to Kilimanjaro, and you are eating shawarma, shawarma guy is in heaven. This is not, I'm confessing, it's a reality of life. It's an estate of soul. It's an estate of soul. So Jesus, ascension in the New Testament is by being built up. Ascension in the New Testament is by being built up. You don't need to die before you ascend. Many people that die, they only relocated, they have not ascended. I'm telling you the truth. People that have died, the conversation of their soul, you will let you know that they have just relocated. Some Christians in heaven now, they still have earthly soul. Because it's their body they dropped. Their soul is still just learning heavenly conversation. Being in heaven does not mean you are heavenly. It's not the same thing. That somebody say he saw himself in heaven driving car. That's an earthly soul. How can you see yourself driving car in heaven? You know the amazing part? People are following that trend. That we have not lost anything on this earth. In fact, people are sowing car not to get better car. I mean, he said the cars there, they are golden. There's no car in heaven. How do you know? What do they need it for? So don't they ride car? So don't they ride car? Spirit does not ride car. Car is for body. So what I'm saying is that if an earthly soul enter heaven, that's what happens when people see vision in heaven. They interpret with their earthly mind. So they say, I see angel building my house in heaven. They are not building any house in heaven for you. It's your earthly mind. Just to move our mind from relocation mentality into being built up. Jesus Christ didn't relocate. Say the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He's talking to Nicodemus and he said he was in heaven. So it is by location. Not by location. That's the state of his soul. That's the state of his soul. So you can be in heaven when you are on earth. You can be in heaven, not by trance or maybe by location or the spirit, prophetic thing. They say, no, it's a building. So to get Father, let's say ascend to Father. Who is Father? There are two portions of blessings that God gives. Because his Father is Father, God is Father, God is God. But there are portions of blessing. That's why I say they are promises. And we read a place where I say, unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made. So who is Father? What blessing? What blessing is the Father? What blessing is God? Father is inheritance. Father is inheritance. When they say, my Father, he's talking about inheritance. There's inheritance part of God that is a blessing. Then there is the second one, when you say God is reward. So there's inheritance, there's reward. So the two major blessings for brethren is what's that? Inheritance and reward. How many of us know that God is inheritance? Romans chapter 8 says it. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. The Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. What did he say next? Heirs of God. Please, what does that mean? When you say heirs of God, you are to inherit God. God is inheritance. God is inheritance. God is inheritance. So we are supposed to inherit God. So the God we are inheriting is his fatherhood. Because inheritance is tied to fatherhood. How many of you know the essence of fatherhood is inheritance? Please, you have to note that one. When you say, my Father, our Father, we are talking about what's our inheritance. Fatherhood is for inheritance. Even Proverbs says, a good father leaves inheritance for his children's children. So the essence of fatherhood is inheritance. That's the essence of fatherhood. So when we say, God is my Father, what am I saying?
God is my inheritance. That thing must be clear to everybody. Let me dig there. So the first promise is the promise of inheritance. The first promise for a Christ. Christ is also a promise for a carnal man. Christ is a promise for a carnal man. A carnal man can't be claiming the promise of fatherhood. God is your father by principle. It's not just your father. Because God can't give you inheritance. You don't have what it takes to get inheritance. So Christ is a promise for a carnal man. When a carnal man is spiritual, he has obtained a promise. He has obtained a promise so that I can now enter the world of promises of fatherhood and godhood. I love these two words, fatherhood and godhood. To receive inheritance, we need to be built up. I told you, ascension is building up. When we say salvation, salvation is the inheritance. When we say salvation of my soul, end of my faith, is that my soul is receiving inheritance. And now, brethren, I commend you to who? To God. You can see that word. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. This ascension. Build me up is my ascending. Pastor, sir, when I say I am in heaven, you see, these things, people will still say it. Don't have false humility. If you are built up, truly, you should say you are in heaven. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Why are you proud? You are not proud. It's your estate. Can you have U.S. citizenship and say you are, I don't want to say it. That's why you say it. And when you say you are proud, they will just be envying you. So if you can be built up, one of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Let's see 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 from verse 3. I can't receive this inheritance unless I'm built up. So if I'm not built up, I can't receive it. Even though the inheritance is there, but I need to be built up to receive it. So, 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, comma, to an inheritance. Don't forget. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Now, here they say that you have been born again to a lively hope through Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance, incorruptible and what? And undefiled and are faded not away, what? Reserved in heaven for you. Who can tell me the inheritance? Tell me, what is inheritance? Incorruptible inheritance, yes. Undefiled inheritance. And what again? What happens to it? Reserved in heaven for you. Sir, where is the inheritance? Where is it? In heaven. So, how do I get inheritance? I must be built up. I must be built up to heaven. The inheritance will not come down. So, why? They say reserved. Anything you reserve cannot come. Reserve means it's there. They reserve it. And so I say, okay, so that, if that's the case, let's quickly die so that we can go to you are a liar. Do you want to die? You don't need to die to get this inheritance. You just need to be built up. So if somebody drop his body and it's not built, he can't get it. It's not everybody in heaven that is getting this thing. Because they are so it's not yet built. That's the evil of this world. The evil of this world is that it will make sure you are not built. Earth can useless your soul. World can useless your soul. The world will use your soul. Use it, then dump you in heaven. We know you can't, you will make heaven, but let's use you. When they dump you in heaven like this, you don't see your soul. Hey, kill a lay you. Empty soul. full of shade. You now realize that the glory of the grass is like a flower. Every morning, people save in their account. After they die, people will be sharing it. It's the folly of this world. We should not be nice to this world, though. This world is not nice. Bible says we should render to Babylon double. Well, what is that done? The Babylon, we are coming for you. We will deal with you. You will know, you will weep. So they say, I must be built up to receive this inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading. This inheritance is a person. They say inheritance reserved in heaven for you. Where is it reserved? Where is it reserved? One day God was asked, "What this inheritance, what is it?" I said, "Divine nature." "Yes." "What is it?" I said, "That's it. No. It's salvation." I said, "Yes." "What is it?" He wanted to let me know what it is. I say, salvation. I say, yes, you are right. Salvation is there. I say, divine nature. Yes, you are there. It's divine nature. What is it? I said, that's it now. Okay, I say, it's incorruptible. He said, yes. I say, it's undefined. I say, it's unfading. He said, yes. Anything that cannot perish is inheritance. He said, yes. You know, he told me the inheritance is a person. And the person is in heaven. So let's see 1 John 5:7. To answer this question, when we now know the person, how do I not begin to get the inheritance? 1 John 5:7. Let's read it together, everybody. For there are three that bear record where? Solve that problem. There are three that bear record where? Allah, my God. I said there are three that bear record where? They didn't say in eternity, in heaven. There are three that bear record in heaven. Who are they? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So, let's look at it very well. The Word became flesh. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And later, we read the Word was made flesh. So it means the Word left heaven and came to the earth. He was made man. He left. When he was on earth, he was about to go. He was telling the disciple, "I will pray the Father. I will pray the Father to send you the Holy Spirit." It's a prayer. "I will pray the Father to send you the Holy Spirit." And then he prayed the Father, and the Father sent down the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's see verse 12. "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are not reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you." With what? With the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things the angel desire to look into. So the Word was sent down. It was made flesh. The Holy Ghost has been sent down. He's in us now. The only person reserved is the Father. He's reserved. The Father will not come to earth. The Father is not coming to earth. The Father is not coming to earth. The Word came to earth. The Holy Ghost came to earth. It's like three of them today. We reserve you. So you are the inheritance. So the inheritance reserved in heaven is the Father. So when Jesus Christ was teaching us to pray, our Father in heaven is not to give you bread and butter. It's inheritance in heaven. Our inheritance in heaven. I hope you know it's for Jesus that can make us know the Father is inheritance. So heaven is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's unfading. Reserved. Before I can get this Father, I must be built up. Nobody will get the Father if it's earthly. Holy Ghost came to you who are earthly. Because it is written in the scriptures. "I will pour out my spirit upon what? All flesh." Man has become flesh. Holy Ghost can manage flesh. But I won't pour the Father on all flesh. No. So when he said, "I ascend to my Father and your Father." You remember when Jesus was on earth? What were the languages of Jesus? How was he calling God? His Father. All true Father. All true Father. Why? He was in heaven. He was in heaven. It means what Jesus Christ was relating with heaven is the inheritance. My Father, my Father. Jesus never called God, God. when he was on there. Go and read your Bible very well. He never called God one day. Imagine they say, my eternal Father, my eternal God. He didn't know you are not schooled. Hey. Hey. You know there's a way babies say things. There's a way babies say things. Leave your little children. Ooh, what are you doing? I'm driving my aeroplane. Can you say you are driving a aeroplane now, sir? I'm driving my aeroplane. Daddy, come and join. And then you too. You become chatty like them. I join. That's Holy Ghost does to us. Holy Ghost to eternal war. Yes, eternal war. You don't understand what he's saying. I am immortal. Yeah, immortal. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm a later. The more enlightened you become in the spirit, the better your word language. You don't use word anyhow. I don't even know. No angel ever say immortal God. The way you say it, they can't. A seraph can't say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You can say anything. Immortal, eternal, the one before. They know. That's why you are a man. A man can say it. Why? That's where he's going. You can say where you are going. God allow it. Angel can't say that. Never. Which angel will say to God, the immortal God? Hey, where did you get it from? Because they taught by revelation. They taught by revelation. A seraph can never, like I said, when a seraph want to worship God, they worship God based on the work inside them. Holy, holy, Lord of hosts. That's because we are hosts. That's how they are worship. But a cherub can worship more because he has more building. I'm talking about building here. Build up. So the building is what they used to worship. So they say, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. That's a cherub. Because a cherub is a mighty. I mean, oh my Father, let me be careful. A cherub is what, sir? Is a mighty one. Gabriel means God's mighty one. A cherub is a mighty one. That's why you must not be a prey to a cherub. You must not be a prey to a cherub. Who shall deliver a prey from a mighty? Isaiah, the mighty there is the Satan. So when they say, holy, holy Lord God, Almighty, is that mighty are worshiping Almighty. What do I say, sir? Mighty are worshiping Almighty. That's why it is in the Bible. A cherub is a Elohim. He's a mighty one. You see, one fair. The universe has been in trouble since that time. Well, it's not tired though. Our population is not a threat. If we are 20 billion, Satan is still okay. He's a mighty one. Yet, the Bible says, to which of the angel did he say at any time, you are my son? Oh my. So it means I have potential more than them. Jesus never said when he was on earth, God one day. It's not that God is not God. It is the state of his soul. He is in the season of fatherhood. Why? He was receiving inheritance. Inheritance, fatherhood. In that way, you can say, Father, 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 Father. It's not a mistake. That is a God one day. Because that is the soul configuration. So when you enter fatherhood, I'm not saying you cannot say Father God now because they know. Don't go and smite yourself. Oh God, oh sorry, oh Father. No, don't worry. Say everything you want to say. They understand. You have that liberty through Christ Jesus. Say, I have the liberty. When they say, I am inheriting Father, I've been built up to heaven. I don't want to get inheritance. You don't get it like that. Father will be giving you his things. There are things that make up Father as Father. There are things that make up Father as Father. Let's see the way Jesus Christ said it in Matthew 11, 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. This is inheritance. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. What is all things? It's not Jesus Christ didn't have a car when he was on earth. They are not earthly things. Not house. He didn't have a house. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Not even donkey. He borrowed one to just go to Jerusalem. So when these all things here, they are all things that make Father, Father. I told you, Father is inheritance. The Father will give you his things. Let me tell you, when we say somebody is a son, sonship in Israel, God taught Israel sonship. A son is he who has his father's things. That's a son. His father's properties are his own. That's a son. They don't call son. That's why when your guy was talking in Israel, you know, in all the synagogue, say, my father. They wanted to stone him. How can you call God your father? That is, you are equating yourself with God. So it means a son is equal to his father. Oh. That's how it is. See it now. Let's see the way he put it. John 5:18 from 17. But Jesus answered them, my father worketh it out too, and I walk. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because it not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. A Gentile does not know. When you say God is your father, you are making yourself equal with God. God is your father. Ah, that's good, though. That's good. But and a Jew knew what sonship is. That when you say you are son of someone, you are making yourself equal with that person. So when you say God is my father, you are making yourself equal. Equality means you have his things. That's why I kept saying, all things the Father has are mine. John 16, let's see. We are sent to the Father. God can't say, I'm your father. If you don't have his things, it's not possible. You can be saying you are son of God. He said, okay. If he didn't tell angel at any time, you are my son. Angel can say they are son of God, but God never told them you are my son. Somebody can even sit and say, son of God. God never say, you are my son. Because for God to say, you are my son, and he will not lie. The hope of Israel will not lie. So when he say, you are my son, and you don't have his things, he's lying. John 16, verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine. It is not God talking that say all things the Father. No. If it's God talking, then there's no hope for us. He's as a man. Man talking and say, all things God has are mine. What? What kind of a man is this? All things, not some things. All things the Father hath are mine. So when he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, he's talking about because commodity of the Father is what I'm using. So when you say, my Father, to say my Father means all things the Father hath are yours. The Jews, one day, they provoked Jesus. Not provoke him to sin. They provoke him to talk. He has been managing there. But one day they say, well, we are not illegitimate. God is our father. Eh? You say what? They have been saying, Abraham is your father. He managed there. If Abraham is your father, you won't kill me. Because Abraham rejoiced. Okay, we are not illegitimate. God is our father. You say what? I'm a son of the father. I don't know you. We are not brothers. If you are son of the father, I'm son of the father, then there should be in you. You know, he has to come out where? You have your father, the devil. That's how every man is. It's not only the Jews. Because Satan has fathered man with his things. You don't know, malice is satanic. Anyone who keeps malice is keeping devil's things. On keep, we can show. You see, the word keep is keeping malice. He's a malice keeper. Your father is promise keeper, but you are malice keeper. Promise speaker, get back goes keeper. But you, Rosa, malice keeper. So, okay, your sweetheart offend you in the morning. Sweetheart, good morning. You are walking away. What make you walk away is not your father in heaven. Let me tell you, when you enter court, there will be a lot of warfare between Satan and God on you. That's where warfare. When I say warfare, not that God is one with Satan. Satan will be proving to God that you are his son. That's why God will not tell you are my son. God will not say it. No, you have to prove the sonship. Before I can tell you are my son, you have to prove it. You have to prove it because Satan will be telling God, he's still my son. He's a Christ, but he's my son.
He's my son. You are just saying, he's not your son, no?
No, there's a way to talk.
He's not your son. He's not your son. He's my son.
God will not say anything. Jesus, how will be talking? He's my brother. That's why he's not ashamed to call them brethren. It's, Father will not talk, but just I'll be talking. He's my brother. I'm not ashamed of him. Hey, he's your son. Okay, see malice. That's my thing. See envy. That's my thing. It's my thing. See evil speaking. Okay, oh yeah, let's watch. Let's watch. This is the way speaking. It's my, that's my boy now. It's my boy. Oh, my queen, my jaw. May we all put Satan to shame. What I'm saying in essence is that when Satan expects you to keep malice, then you just, you wake up and say, Sutada, how are you? What you just did, you have put somebody to shame somewhere. Jesus can be telling Satan, you know I told you it's my brother. You know there's a way when you do something, they can be proud of you. I told you that is my brother. You know I told you. You are the one proving a point. You know I told you. That will be our testimony. So, Father's things, they are in three levels. When I say inheritance, they are in three levels. There are three levels of sonship. So, the most holy place is designed, basically, for inheritance. When I say inheritance reserved in heaven, the heaven there is the most holy place. If I have entered most holy place, where am I? I'm in heaven. Even though holy place is also heaven, but they don't particularly call it heaven because of the magnitude of the most holy place. It's like all angels are angels, but the one they call angels are the cherubims, who make it his angel spirit, and what his ministers, flame of fire. Does that mean that the ministers are no angels? They are angels too, but these ones are the peak of the angelic. So we say heaven. Outer court is heaven. Holy place is heaven. Most holy place is heaven. Who is blessed today? So, outer court is first heaven. Holy place is second heaven. Most holy is third heaven. But when they come to this kind of inheritance, they refer to most holy place. So, when they say inheritance reserved in heaven, is in the most holy place. So, where Jesus comes in, when they say, my father, your father, is that Jesus will come from the holiest. To come and take you in the holy place. The essence of Jesus coming to the holy place is to bring you to holiness so that his father can be your father. Check it out. And for his father to be your father, when we say Jesus ministering to you, is ministration of his father's things that he has. For his father to be your father, he has to give you what his father gave him. To be his father, he now wants to also give you so that he too, God can be your father. So that's how he begins to minister. So let's see Hebrews chapter 5. He said, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. Things pertaining to God there are things pertaining to inheritance. There's another name we call Father. Father is everlasting God. Everlasting God is still God, but like I said, it's tied to inheritance. When we say, my God shall be your God, that is talking about eternal. So there is everlasting God, there is eternal God. This is where we don't argue too much. Why? Because God is inheritance. God is reward. The inheritance part of God is everlasting. That's why I say Father. Then there's what again? The eternal part, that is the reward. Everlasting God, eternal God. What is the reason for everlasting God? Is for what? Inheritance. What is the reason for eternal God? Is for reward. So you can say everlasting God is my Father. Eternal God is my God. For Jesus to minister inheritance to you, his Father as inheritance. He will begin to open to you the things of his Father that he has received. Because I read to you, all things the Father hath are mine. First of all, he said that the Father has delivered all things into my hand. Matthew. So, delivering all things to my hand is not yet mine.
You have to understand that. When they say the Father, all things are delivered to me of my Father. Delivery doesn't mean they are yet his. They can deliver things to you and it's not yet yours. I can give you money, but it's not yet your money. So you have to use them. It's in using that they become your home. Inheritance is in two levels. It means they will first of all give it to you. Giving is not the same thing as inheriting. They give you, then you use it and inherit it. Is anything you inherit that say is mine? So what does God will do when he brings sons of the sanctuary into the holiest is that he will introduce them to things of his Father. Number one is the word of God. So the materials of salvation, they are three. Or materials of everlasting Father, they are three. One, word of God. Two, testimony of God. On Friday, I was calling it covenant. Because covenant is law to testimony. Then number three is the oath of God. Why is it testimony of Jesus? Jesus Christ used it. Don't forget, all that the Father hath are mine. Let me remember. How many of you know that word of God is Jesus now? In the beginning was the word. That word is the word of God. That word is a person. It's a person. But later in Revelation 19, when they showed him, they said, whose name is the word of God? It doesn't mean it's the word. No, word of God means that he inherited it. Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. That's a name. That's the name. Faithful and True. He earned the name. Anything they are calling Jesus is as a man. They are showing us a pattern of a man. You too, when you finish your course, they should call you Faithful and True. That's why you are true. True son of God. You know, Moses had a name, Faithful. In Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible says, Moses, who was faithful. He had a name. But Jesus Christ is better than Moses. Moses was faithful, but it's not true. But Jesus Christ is faithful and true. It's a name. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written, which no man knew but himself. They didn't declare this one. His unknown name. That's the name the Father gave him. This name here is eternal name. This name, I want to say, he had a name which no man knew but himself. It's the same way. When you become eternal, they will give you a stone, a white stone. Let's see Revelation chapter 2. They will give you a white stone with a new name written, which no man knew but himself that has it. So it's, as Jesus has the name, you too, we have that name. He that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. He had a name written, which no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture deep in blood. And his name is called what? The word of God, there's not in the beginning was the word. They didn't say in the beginning was the word of God. Word is a person. But this word of God is a nature. That's what I say, name. Name is nature. Name is nature. So, because when we say Father's things are nature in the Father. Things that make up the Father, they are natures. So one aspect of the Father's nature is the word of God. Yes, I know you quote word of God. It's not what you quote. It's a nature. But you know we use that. Like I said, as children, we say many things. You don't quote word of God. You use word of God. It's a nature. So what is word of God? Nature of the Father is a particular nature. That nature is responsible for something. There's what nature of the word does. In you, when you have the nature called word of God, there's something it does to you. So the young men in 1 John chapter 2, they already have that nature. May you inherit the Father. Why is it that you people have not overcome malice? It's a nature. Some people can pray, Father, today I receive grace to be meek, grace to be patient. No matter the temptation, no matter the prayer, I will be patient. Then you go out. Then they set the table before you. Pa, 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 you are bearing. Pa, you are praying. And you are still praying in tongue. Pa, pa, pa. Then another one came. The one that is called me is Omo Hell. It's not ungodly. It's somebody from hell. Hell can try your nature. When hell come and you don't have material for hell, you fall for it. You not blow. They are even begging you, it's enough. It's not enough. Let me pray. Has it happened to anybody before? We are all men. Don't say it like this. You are a hypocrite. Has it happened to you before? They are saying it's okay. It's not okay. Let me just, you see, it's not that I'm fighting. I just. So it's when you leave the place, you now come back to yourself. Then I should have been quiet. Okay, why are you not overcoming that thing? It's because you don't have name that can undo it. You need a name to undo names. You need a nature to undo natures. It's not by might or by power. It's not by prayer. Prayer is good. You need some element, commodities that can undo some things. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye know him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. See that was, ye are strong. And what again? And the word of God abideth in you. And what happened? You have overcome the wicked one. So to overcome wicked one, you need a nature called the word of God. So you can be a name, word of God. A word of God. Me, you have a nature. A particular nature in the Father that overcome the wicked. So, you see, when you enter the Holy, another day, another meeting, God willing, we will come back. You see, what the Lord wants us to be doing is to be teaching people what the manner of life in the holiest. There are different degrees of life in the holiest. There are children in the holiest. There are newborn babes in the holiest. There are children. So, those children, they have the word of God that live it. But the word is not yet abiding. So, it means that when they hand over something to you, they have given them word of God. It's already living them. But it's not yet their home. Anything that abides is yours. How it abides, you use it until it becomes a nature. You have to use the word to overcome the wicked one. What is wicked one? Wicked one is a nature. Don't be seen outside. There's an investment of wickedness in you. Every man is wicked. Okay, what did they say about the heart, Pastor? The heart of man is evil. That's really what? David didn't know his heart until Bathsheba came into sin. That's David now. Eh? You said what? Not many Christians have Davidic soul. David didn't know his heart until Bathsheba came. It's not just the adultery. The adultery is a sin. But what David did, Kalamaya. So it's not just falling to temptation of adultery. Okay, there's a sin. But what he did after. Ah, my God. It's not normal. The lady told you, you slept with somebody who is your most loyal officer. Then the lady told you, I'm pregnant. You called the guy. Oh, yeah, send for him. What are you doing? So that you can nurse a bastard. If the man sleep with the girl and say she's pregnant, that's the end. They have covered the top. But the thing didn't work. They want to try David's heart. The thing didn't work. The guy didn't sleep with the lady. Then he must have slept. Okay, what can we do next? To this guy, they told him, okay, make him drunk. Make him drunk. Wickedness is just coming out. Make him drunk. Then they drunk the guy. The guy was drunk. He still slept in the temple. Oh, God, the thing didn't work. Okay. Wickedness came again. Send him back with a letter. A sentence letter. Somebody carries death sentence and say, expose him to the war front where it is more tough and let them kill him. Withdraw, back up, kill him. And it happened. Then Joab sent to David. This thing happened. He said, but tell Oga, when he's angry, tell him, moreover, your servant, Uriah, is dead. And he told him, he said, okay. And one thing, we lose battle, another battle. And not that alone, he took Bathsheba, brought her inside. So he never knew he could be that wicked. You understand? I'm not talking about heart. Heart of man is evil. Desperately wicked. Wicked. Sir, everybody has wickedness. So. James told the people, he said, get rid of all uncleanness and all that remains of wickedness. They are talking to people that have incorruptible seed. In fact, another verse is the overflow of wickedness. Is it the tempter comes that you will know? You see, what they do is that when the wicked comes to tempt wickedness in us, that is his material. He comes to tempt wickedness in every man. When you now, the more you are coming close to God, I told you, Satan will be telling God, "It's my son." This boy just wants to be your son. He's just deceiving himself. God is just forcing himself on you. Okay, let me prove it. He will not prove you with evil. It's wickedness. He will bring wickedness operations. Then he will be talking to you to steer wickedness. The deep collect unto deep. So what make me overcome the wicked one is the word of God. So Jesus Christ will give you something to overcome something inside. When you say you overcome the wicked one is still there outside. But as Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming. But he has nothing in me. Nothing in me means that there are no materials, no properties in me. So salvation begins with the word of God. I told you salvation is our inheritance. Say my inheritance is salvation. And what salvation is a person. God is salvation. So the beginning of saving the soul or having inheritance is word of God. They give you word of God to use. So when you use the word, you keep using the word until you overcome the wicked one. What is the instrument of the word? 1 Peter 1:23. He said, being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So, word should give you a nature that not only war with the wicked. You hear me? You war with the wicked, with the word. Then you overcome the wicked with the word. How? When the word liveth and abideth in you. Sometimes you win the wicked, sometimes the wicked win you. So don't be discouraged when you see wickedness showing in you. Just know that the word is exposing it. The word will be exposing wickedness in you. Word will be exposing wickedness. When you enter the city of the word of God, that's when wickedness will be popping out. Sometimes not even an action, it's a thought. There are some thoughts you will ask yourself, am I the one thinking this thing? Can I still think like this? Yes! It's exposing something in you. There are two measures of the word. You know, the word live it, the word abide it. How you live. When they say live it, the word living in you is that the word will be demanding some things from you. What the word will demand is fervent charity. Fervent charity is your entrance to the realm of the word of God. Not just charity. Charity is a godly man. Charity is Christ. When you enter realm of the word of God, what the world will be placing as a demand on you is fervent charity. So it's not just charity. You have done charity. The world wants to change your texture. So if you're asking fervent charity, you can imagine charity is patient. Charity is kind. But fervent charity is fervently patient. It's fervently kind. It's not just kind. It's fervently kind. So everything charity is, you move it to a fervent state. So when I say charity among the brethren, that is realm of the godly. In the realm of them that are using word of God. This is how we know you are using the word. Somebody asked me, okay, sir, how do I know I'm using the word of God? I say, you know you use the word of God when you are fervently kind. Everything charity is, add fervent to it. Charity is not easily provoked. So, fervent charity
You can see that it will not be provoked for a long time. That's fervent charity. So it's in the realm of fervent charity, they were placing demand on the First Peter church. They say, lay aside. Oh man, that thing they are saying they should lay aside is not easy by themselves. You use word of God. It's not by might or by power. You use word. Word will empower you. Word is a nature. I told you word is a nature in the Father. So when you are using word, I realize that in the New Testament, they told them to do things. They don't say, God will do it for you. They don't say, oh, purify me, God. It's not New Testament prayer. It's not New Testament prayer. Purify me, oh God. No. Purify yourself. That's what the Bible says. He that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he's pure. So it's not you ask for grace to do it, but you cannot say, oh, God, do it for me. You won't move one inch in the spirit. That's why some people's prayer are no answer because they are not doing it. So they told them, as newborn babe, lay aside. One other, I said, why did they say lay aside? Didn't they say, God will help you to lay it aside? No. When God empower you with word, you have capacity to lay aside. Lay aside all malice. So, you see malice is coming out in your soul. As malices are coming out, then you will have power to be laying in the side. You lay aside malice. You see malice scenario. Because here you will see a Christ and a living soul staying in the same house. How you will know you are laying aside malice? Guy, evil speaking, envy, hypocrisy, is that they will put scenario of those things around you. So you will see, this is where living among brethren is a blessing, first of all. Because you will see in that household, they are in different levels. There's who is using milk. There's who is using meat. There's who is using strong meat like you. So if that is using milk, we trouble you. It's not intentional. It's his nature. It's not intentional. Don't see anybody that is doing negative among brethren as intentional. It's not a witch. It's not stopping block. It's a stepping stone. Don't pray him away. I'll say what you need, though. Please, it's very important. Outsiders, we prove you. But insider, we do it the work more. Because they live with you every day. Okay, think about Jesus' disciples. They were useful in Jesus' attainment. Even Judas was useful. Because Judas was Jesus' little book. See, you are able to enter that world. You can be bitter to the cross. Because you'll be thinking, Judas and I, the guy we used to eat together, scenario will be coming through your mind. We used to eat together. Even when I didn't allow Peter to eat with me, we eat together, we gist together, master, we talk many things. And he now sold it for 3,000 naira. Not even 3 billion. You know, the way you are sold is with your worth. If somebody sold you, God forbid, sold you for 3 billion, it's, at least I was something. Again, Ali, they said me where? I mean, you imagine, oh my God, what car? You don't know what's that we're telling Jesus. Are you down so low? Carpenter, Galilee. No wonder you are Galilee. Where not something good come from? 30 pieces. Oh my God. But the Bible says, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. So when you have gained a nature called word of God, the nature makes you overcome the wicked one. They will push you more. Because it's not all about the wicked one. They will push you more. Then God will come to you through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will now enter the next level of blessing in the fatherhood. It's called testimony. Jesus will give you his testimony. It's the same way Father gave him his testimony. The Father gave Jesus his testimony. Let's see John chapter 3. The Father proved Jesus through the word. When he was in water, when he came out, the Father knew this is an abider. That's why I say, you are my son, in whom I am well pleased. When he came out of water, water is word. Water of the word of God. You remember, sanctifying them with the water of the word. So that water he came out from is the approval that is word. Jesus said the word abide there. And they proved the word abide there when he went to the wilderness. Those are the temptation of an abandoned. So, for example, now you want to travel out and pastor say don't go, then you're hungry. It means that you have not overcome the wicked one. Yes, because where you are going is not heaven. It's just a place. And things are not rosy everywhere. You can go there and be washing toilet. From banking to toilet washing. But you are okay because you are collecting more money. Even though you are dehumanized. So the testimony of Jesus is that Jesus is telling you, I cut covenant with God. And this is the outcome of my covenant with God. That's the essence of testimony of Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 32. Give me from 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven, see that word? Is above all. Next verse. And what he had seen and heard, that he testified. And what happened? And no man received his testimony. No man can receive his testimony. It's not possible. To receive the testimony of Jesus, you must have used the word. So they don't give you testimony when they are not giving you the word. The word of God is what makes you live it and abide there. Then they now say, okay, with this now, you can receive testimony. Look at what he said. And he that had received his testimony, what did he do? I said to his seed that God is true. It means that what the testimony should do is to bring you to the season of true light. God is true. The Son is also true. So when he give you testimony, my testimony, I'm giving it to you, is to let you know I cut covenant with God. And I obey that covenant. Or I fulfill all the terms of the covenant. And because of that, I also have testimony. So when you see Jesus Christ in the book of John, he will say, my Father testify of me. You don't have everywhere. He's everywhere. My Father, he said, I don't need any man's testimony. My Father testify of me. My Father testify of me. He's trying to say, he has earned a testimony. Yes, there are details of this thing. Even with this word that they've touched, there are details of the word. Fervent charity is part of commandment of the word. It's more than that. Fervent charity is just to help you, make you become a born again one. There's still more. You enter in that word of God, you enter what they call love of the Father. It's in the love of the Father, you know chastisement of the Father. So if you don't love your brethren that you see, how will you love him that you don't see? Because it will be chastised. Correction. Ah, my Father. When you enter into the fatherhood of God, the word of God, correction. Sometimes if you talk to your wife, not even shouting, no, just do something small. You can't sleep. You'll be really on the bed. It has done me, so you know it can't do you. Really on the bed. You'll be rolling. Even you don't even know what happened. When I say spirit, no, it's not spirit. Now one law you break. I say, what happened? What's up? They just show you a scenario. What's big about that? We tell you, no, next time, this is how you do it. Love of the Father is chastisement. But in testimony, God will be testing something about you. The way he said concerning Abraham in Genesis 18, I know Abraham. That's testimony. You see, it's in testimony the Father will be talking. You know how the wife has been watching you? Jesus Christ is talking on your behalf. He's defending you. Satan is seeing everything. In testimony, the Father will talk. It's my son. There's nothing that I can do about that. Because you already have a testimony. May we all have testimony. I'm not saying before men. Men can be testify you, but God does not testify. Jesus said, I don't receive my testimony. Even though John testified of me, but that doesn't really matter. It's the one that the Father is saying. When the Father testifies of you, oh, my Father, it means that you are looking like him. You are God look-alike. So Jesus fulfilled testimony. I said he fulfilled the obligation of the covenant. As we say, what is covenant? It's fulfilling the obligation of the law. Because in covenant, they will give you law. There is no covenant outside of law. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Let's see it. I say I will dwell more on the fatherhood. God does this to make you eternal. But fatherhood is where we are now.
to have inheritance of divine nature, to become saved in our soul. That's where we are. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. What did he say? I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their heart. And I will be to them a God. And they shall be to me a people. You see, a God is not the God. You have to understand. What is a God? A God is the Father. A God is a Father. The God. I told you about God. Let's see Revelation 21. You see that it's not to say a God. God himself shall be in their midst. Why would they use God himself? That's the eternal God. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself, they didn't say God shall be with them. No, God himself, that is eternal God. God, not a God, himself. When I'm a God to you, I'm still trying to walk more on you. When they say myself, God himself shall be with them and be their God. This eternal dimension. This is when God is your God. So to have covenant, you need law of the life. When they say the blood that speaketh, better things. What the blood is saying, when they say blood that speaketh, it's not just speaking maybe some good things coming to you. The blood will be speaking the law of the life. Because inside the blood is the life. But you can't get the life outside of the law. So the law of the life, the law of divine life is in the blood. The life will be communicating a law to you. There's a way you think like woman. When you come into the season of the blood, you don't think woman again. Your sin, transgression in the law is that you think like woman. Yes, so anytime you think the way woman be are thinking, it's a sin. You're not saying no man will receive his testimony. No man can receive that. Because that's a normal thing now. That's not a normal thing. If you are 90 and God say it is your time to give birth to twins, say, how will it be? That's the sin of Zechariah. What Zechariah ask is a normal thing. You will ask the same thing. I am old. My wife is old. How will this thing be? The angel said, eh? You said what? So you, that angel didn't show mercy. The angel said, I'm not expecting you to be thinking like man. It's the same question Mary asked. And the angel said, don't worry, Mary. Because Mary is still lower in judgment. But you are a priest. You should know that with God, all things are possible. But to Mary, they preach to her with God. Or in fact, they say even your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. But this one, the angel didn't think twice. He said, because you didn't believe what I'm saying, you'll be dumb. You're able to speak. So there's a way man thinks. Thinking as a man is a sin in the corridor of testimony. Like if you try it, but don't jump your gun, okay? When you are still in the season of the war, think like a man. So that you won't run crazy. No, I'm telling you. But you see, do you know why? When you enter testimony of Jesus, this is where you begin to prove God that is true. You prove God as living with his word. You prove God as true in testimony. True means that if I say a thing, go and sleep. It will come to pass. Let all men be lie. Let God be true. When you enter true word, true season of testimony, you can bank your life on what he tells you. Because why? He's also teaching you how to be true. So that anything you say is binding. So in true, you swear to your heart. You don't say, I'll be giving for SM Flex 500K. By the grace of God, 500,000. Then the money that came is 520,000. Instead of 1 million. God, you know you understand all things. It's not my fault. Father, please have mercy on me. 20,000 cannot sustain my family. You are not yet true. If you are true, you swear to your heart. So you can now see that area, you can't go there. You need stature. Word of God must have raised you. So when you have testimony, say, when I have testimony. God will not say, now that Elvis has testimony before me, let me swear to him. So the little book is the book of oath. Revelation chapter 10. Let's see it. The little book, Revelation chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head. That rainbow. Rainbow is a sign of hope. Because that's when God made hope. You remember with Noah. And his face as his what? The sun. And his feet as the pillars of fire. And he had in his hand the little book. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders utter their voices. How many of you know that the seven thunders utter their voices are the content of the book? They are the voices of the book. If what he did, he just roared to open the book. Then the book became activated. Then seven thunders, one after the other, roaring. When they roar, John heard. Hallelujah. When the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. So it means John knew what the seven thunders said. He had them. And he wanted to write them. As he was writing to the churches, he wanted to write this one too. But they told him, don't do it. Seal up those things. Which seven thunders uttered? Write them not. Keep them. It's for you. Why? John had testimony. You know, how many of you know when you read 1 John, when he was writing, I write unto you fathers. I write unto you young men. I write unto you, who is he that is writing to fathers? The fathers know him that is from the beginning. And somebody say, I write unto you. So it means it's more than fathers. That's why I say, John the elder. The elder is not just age, it's an attainment. When they say John the elder, it's more than the fathers. The fathers are those who have testimony. They are using testimony of Jesus. But John had testimony already. So he understands what the thunders are saying. It means John was already in the season of his own hope. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven. He swear. What is the meaning of swearing? Oath. So the book is book of oath. The angel is angel of oath. The kind of angel you have around you depends on what you are using. There are angels that do the word of God. Abi, blessed are those angels that do his commandment. Listen to the voice of his word. There are angels like that. There are angels of testimony. There are angels of oath. This angel is angel of oath. He's angel of oath. The churches can't receive ministry of this angel. John can, because John already has some things. What is the purpose of the little book? Very important. That is the last phase of being made incorruptible. The last phase of incorruptibility. When I say that, that is to say, they have moved you to define, but you need to be crowned as a divine man. Oath. There's something about oath. What is that? It turneth not. So they said, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift coming from the Father of light, in whom what? There's no variableness. No what? Now you see the word shadow of turning. There's nothing that will make God to turn. That is what they call incorruptible nature. You can be made divine and still turn. Believe me honestly. It's not human nature we are talking about here. We are talking about divine nature. They move you from humanity to divinity. You have where you are coming from. So, it's still possible. Satan doesn't give up if you have testimony. He's not giving up. You don't know. Satan is a being of oath. So, if you tell God, I have oath, he can still turn. Let me prove him. Because Satan is an oath means that Satan cannot turn to God. I mean, Satan cannot turn to God. Satan cannot repent. You know Satan cannot repent? You are not. I said Satan cannot repent. Why? It's a hot pain. And that's what Satan wants to do to all men, to hurt them. Nobody is going to live without oath of Satan. They can't turn again. Even God showed them his eternal power, is they can't know. They are dead. That is oath. So God has to hurt you.
That's the last property of fatherhood. Oath. So oath is this. This is oath. Simple. When I say simple, the word swear. The word swear is the word sheba. Sheba. You know, when you read the word sheba, it's from where Abraham was. Ba-sheba. In a well of oath. So God didn't make oath with Abraham. He has to go to that place. Genesis. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba. That Beersheba is well of oath. And what did he do? And called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. He's already having testimony. He had done covenant to testimony. God said, I know Abraham. He will command his household after him. But there is still something Abraham needed. It's called oath. So he had to stay there. And when he stayed there, he was emanating strength. He was receiving capacity for the next level. It was after a year you read that God came to him and said, Abraham, for the whole purpose, your only son, whom thou lovest, sacrifice him to me. The same way God did to Jesus. Jesus had testimony. God told Jesus, lay down your life. So the purpose of oath is that you must not love that life unto the death. Hear me? Not your carnal life. Not that the Lord not their carnal life. It's not carnal life. Even what I gave you, this definition I gave you, you must not love it. I am more than it. You can't get eternal. Because there's still eternal. Don't hold to that everlasting. Everlasting will push you more. There's still more. So Jesus said, this is the commandment the Father gave me. I should lay down my life. It's not life of sin. It's an attainment. You have to lay down your attainment. That's what they teach the elders that are around the throne. They lay down their crowns. They have crown of gold. You must be laying it down. So, Beersheba. Sheba means, what is it, swearing or oath. Is that it's a speaking of seven times. Yes. The word swear is the word Sheba. Go and check the word. Sheba is from Shaba, which is speaking of myself seven times. So the little book has seven thunders, meaning that it's a seven speakings of God. Little book is not just one little book, it's a seven speakings of God. So what is the purpose of seven speakings of God? When you come, that you have testimony, you can approach. Then God will open you to the little book. Little book is that it's a season of short work. And what you do that? God will be speaking on you. So the speaking is this. You are divine, but you are not fully divine. You have where you are coming from. You are a man. Humanity. You have overcome some things. Even now you have overcome, but you are not fully overcome. As a divine, you can still turn. Satan was divine before, and he turned. It's only God that cannot turn. Are you getting me, sir? I'm even not... The testimony of Jesus, that testimony, he nearly turned. Don't be angry with me. When he faced the cross, he said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass. Not my will, but your will. It means something came into being. It was divine, no? He already said, if you are seeing me, you are seeing the Father. But they mean that there's still something that can make him turn. That's what we are saying. So God has to say, this one is good, but it's not enough. You can still turn. Let me make you unturnable. The unturnable is a little book. So it means it will be speaking. When he says seven times, it's a swearing or blessing. So each blessing, when he speaks one time, it will turn you. That's one. Then speak again, turn you. Two. He has to do that seven times. So when he has done it seven times, you can't turn. Can't turn. You can't turn. So, yeah, you are defined as God. There's nothing. Paul said it. Paul said, what shall separate us from the love of God? That is not statement of Bible. Paul is saying that hell, heaven, even what to come. No angels, no death. Paul is saying his own reality. He's not saying for you. No, no, it's his estate of life.
It's his estate of life. If God will, God said, don't do ministry again. Just be in the room. Because that's what they did to Paul. 2 years he was in prison. No preaching again. In fact, he said, all of you Asia, you have departed from. You can imagine laboring all your life on cheap brethren. And they left you alone. And he said, I pray God will not count it against you. It's a work. So when Paul said, I finished my course, it's like Paul said, I attained that thing. I came to that place. You know, Paul came to that place. Paul came to that place where he doesn't turn. He came there. And he still lived for 2 years. After he said that word, that I finished my course. You know that I want to go and die. No, he attained that life. Paul had a little book. May we be fully divine. How many of you see where we are still going? So if you can say, brethren, offend me, I don't want to forgive people, you can see that that's a low judgment. You can't be seeing things like this, then you are thinking about brethren. Brethren owe you money, 2,000, 5,000 naira. I'm not coming to church again, they owe me money. You don't know where you are going. Let them even collect your cloth. When you know where you are going, Jesus said, if they slap you, put the second one. Because where you are going, somebody asked for your suit, give him the waistcoat. They ask for your tie, give them the pocket square. And just have to set your face. May we all come to the season of hope in Jesus' name. I say, may God speak upon us. Come and say it again. So that's how you are like the Father. In this one, you have inherited the Father. So is this man that does not turn again, they can move to the eternal world. Nobody will enter. When they say, God being your God, is invitation to the eternal world. So that man child that was caught up to God, is he that does not turn. Cannot turn. You can't enter eternal world and turn. You will be God that has turned. Why God said they should not eat the tree of life? Because they can still turn. Nobody will partake of tree of life. He can turn. Because you'll be born as Lucifer. It's like immortal evil. It's immortality of evil. It's higher than Lucifer. When you are immortal evil, you create evil world that cannot be destroyed. Nobody can receive eternal life if it's not fully divine. It's oath that bring you to eternal life. They must swear on you 7 times. You have been torn. They know that this is where you win the devil. When you face the dragon, Satan knows this one is more than me. You can't turn. Let him do anything. Let him tempt you. Let him tempt you. Let them leave you with Satan for 1 billion years. That would say Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. May we all come there. I say the Father of our Lord will be our Father indeed. I'm praying for a season of grace to rest upon us. Grace to do obedience. Grace to obey the word. Grace to come into testimony. Grace to come into the little book. I pray in Jesus' name we will come to season of oaths. When is season of oaths? I pray you will not be found wanting. You will overcome the word, overcome the wicked one, overcome the dragon. In the name of Jesus. I don't know where you are now, but I'm praying. Let there be in this season and pray for quantum leap in the spirit. I said, I feel like we'll be like ice feet. Some of us, we have been working at lonely places too much of offense, bitterness. I'm praying in this season, from today, receive grace to walk in high places. I minister to your feet in the spirit. I say, I minister to your feet. I minister to your feet. Oh, my Father. I say, feet receive strength. Feet receive power. Feet receive strength. Feet receive power. I pray, receive power to obey. Commandment of the word of God, receive power. Testimony of John, receive power. Oath of God, receive power. Some of us, Satan is telling us that we can't go far. This one won't go far. This one can't go far. I know his substance. I'm praying in the name of Jesus, may that word not be over you. Receive change. Change of nature. Change of nature.
change of nature. Father, I pray everyone under the sound of my voice, go far. I say you will go far. You will go far until you become like him. Everlasting and eternal. In the name of Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeo Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.